In theory.
Hey, everyone. We have a super exciting show today. Jackson Dietrich is here to talk about being a Red Wolf and his amazing winner over the weekend. We've got awesome breakdowns of FIFA rule changes and big news in USL. And as we know, Saturday, they are releasing a brand new kit that we're also very excited about. And we have an exclusive sneak preview of what that third kit was going to look like. We've got Bob Martino as the model. Guys, do you have it ready?
You ready? All right, you ready? And live. Oh, man.
Oh, that's magnificent.
You know, this may actually outdo the Rusty third kit. And so, wow. I know where he sits in the stadium. He sits by Beth and I, so that must be the King Bob chair.
Get your pre-orders in now.
Yes. Yes, give him a call because these are going to go quick. Who's got the opening?
What is this opening you speak of? There's an opening? Are you sure? I'm not confident that we have an opening.
Because we're going to chat.
Wow.
Fantastic what? Podcast.
Wow. Power.
Well, that's
soccer chat with two T's because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Wow, I try to cover for Adam, and he just like pulls it from my claws, so he's got to have the control. Man,
I really just want my main computer to work again because this is killing me being on this like 12-year-old computer that keeps freezing.
Wow.
I can thank my daughter for doing whatever she did to it to kill it.
Bum bum bum. Well, let's jump right into the program. We have Red Wolves forward Jackson Dietrich.
All right, let's bring Jackson in.
Just a moment. He'll get his camera back on.
Yeah, and his mic. So either that or he's watched the show so far and he's changed his mind.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, it's pretty fair.
Hello?
It's bad.
Now, hello. There you go. And there's Jackson.
All right.
I got some very serious questions for him.
So, Jackson, we wanted to start out. So, I have a lot of jokes that I make about the fact that I scouted you and got you signed with the team. But in reality, we did see you at the January Combine. And you know, despite what we may think, you definitely were a player that stood out. So I was wondering if you could take us back to coming to Chattanooga to take part in the Combine. What did the team tell you? What were your expectations when you got there? And just kind of how did it feel going through that process?
Obviously, at that stage, it was a pretty stressful time for me just because I hadn't signed for a team the year previous. So I just trying to get in the best shape possible. And then I just went out and expected to be hopefully a standout player and one of the better players on the field. And luckily, it worked out.
And so as you went through the process at the end of the day, was there anything that the team told you at the time or did you have to wait and kind of hear from your agent after the combine was done?
Pretty much the next day they offered a contract. And I know I talked to Jimmy Oblade as well for a little bit. I knew him from back home. So I felt like it was going to be a good fit, especially knowing somebody that I've played against most of my career. So I thought it was a good fit and it's worked out great so far.
So I've got a really important question. Did you feel like you had an advantage going into that being that we'd already had two previous Dietrichs on the team and we really needed to go ahead and fill the Dietrich role within the organization?
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be a match made in heaven, but I didn't know there was two in the 2 years previous. So
yeah, and it's
three now, so we're looking pretty good then.
I gotta believe that's your name's not the most common last name, and then to add to it that soccer in the U.S. is not the most commonly played sport by a lot of kids, unfortunately. So to have three different Dietrichs representing, I feel like we're doing you guys a good service for that last name at least. And then this year, you've really shined.
Oh, for sure. I couldn't agree more.
As kind of becoming a bit of a super sub for us, how do you feel in that role?
Yeah, I mean, definitely something I have to get used to. I'm playing definitely more attacking than I'm used to in college. So it's just good, you know, trying to get used to the new position. And then when I get my chance, I just try and cause havoc and do what I can to help the team.
So I've got some questions. Go a little further back. You ready, Jackson?
All right. Of course, yep.
Wir wurden in Deutschland geboren. Wie war Bremen? All right, so he was born in Germany. So what was Bremen like? Okay.
That wasn't actually too bad. That was actually pretty good. I'm impressed. But Germany, I mean, Bremen was great. I mean, when I was growing up, just everything was just based around football. You know, that's the only sport I played growing up, the only sport I knew. So, I used to play soccer from beginning of the day till the end. And that's really all I really remember from living there. I mean, it was just soccer every day. So it's definitely a great place to grow up, especially around the game and stuff.
So, wie waren Sie, als Sie die USA gezogen sind?
I was 8 years old when we moved to the U.S. We moved to L.A., and then 2 years later, we moved to Vegas. And then when I was like 15, 16, I moved back for a year and played for a little bit there and lived with my dad. So that was pretty good, too.
Yeah, Vegas is Noxy Bremen. Yeah. So, zwei mehr.
What is happening? Jeff didn't think we were niche enough, so he decided to go German in our interview.
Warum haben Sie Reichstadt bekommen?
I chose Reichstadt. I felt like it was a good fit. I knew a couple guys on the team as well. And you know, the coach and I had plenty of good talks. I thought I could go there and make an impact straight away, which ended up working out for me. So it was a great couple years. And the program is just on the up there. So we had a lot of draft picks, a lot of players that went to the next level. So it was a great place for me to progress as a player.
Wie ist Chattanooga, Tennessee im Vergleich zu Dayton, Ohio?
Yeah, actually, that's a funny question. I think Dayton, Ohio and Chattanooga are very similar. You know, small town feel, which I like much better than big city. So I've enjoyed it a lot, but it definitely reminds me a lot of Ohio, except definitely a little warmer down here than it is up there.
Yeah, very good. All right, guys, I'm done. It's in English. Oh, yes, now answer,
I be no, a bit.
He's got to answer him back all in German now, so we cover our German audience. I'm trying to expand. I'm trying to expand our reach, guys.
This does have an international flavor, and we love that. So I don't want to put a lot of undue pressure on you, but you are tied for first in goals among Dietrichs in franchise history. So talk about the amazing goal that you had on Saturday. You know, you're setting up for that free kick. Are you expecting the ball to come to you, or are you just kind of hoping that maybe something comes your way that you can try to get your head or a piece of your body onto?
Yeah, I mean, we actually talked about it after the game. We didn't really practice this set piece play like that. But, I mean, there was, I think, like 30 seconds left. If that were, I think we were even over the time. So just try to get as many bodies in the box as we can and just maybe try to get a flick or do anything to cause chaos. And luckily it went in.
Now, the broadcast, they were very confused about who scored. Did you have any doubt that that was your goal once it went in the net?
No, actually, I had no idea. I knew I touched it. I flicked the ball, but I did it. I thought maybe somebody touched it behind me, but at that point, it really didn't matter who scored. We were just happy to get a point after three games in 8 days or something crazy. So it was important to get a point on the road.
So as you come into this rematch with Greenville, this will be the second game with them. Are you preparing for them in a different manner than last time, or is it very similar?
No, I think every team we play and every game we go into, obviously the approach is maybe a little different, but usually we just focus on ourselves and we know if we do that, it doesn't matter really who we play, we should get a positive result from the game. So we don't have too much of a different approach going into any team or anywhere we play. So just sticking to what we do, and we should be good to go.
Well, with so many teams like Greenville and Richmond, does the coaching staff work with you on how to avoid players that are flopping on the ground? So you don't run over them like a speed bump?
No, we haven't talked about that too much. You know, everybody has their own tactic, I guess, but we'll just stick to what we know how to do, and then they can do all the flopping they will, or they want to do, excuse me, and we still should come out on top.
Of course, they can't score goals when they're flopping on the ground, so I guess I shouldn't complain too much.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that you're playing a little bit more of an attacking role than you had in the past. Tell us a little bit about the transition to that. I know that we've had some players that have gone the other direction. So you think, you know, Jono and Ricky Ruiz last year both going to defense from more of an offensive position. How is the transition going from a defensive-minded player to an offensive-minded player? And what's the big difference there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, maybe that came out wrong earlier, that I was super defensive. I mean, I just played as, now I'm more of a forward, you know, attacking mid or slash a winger. In college, I was more of a 6 and an 8, so more of a box-to-box or a holding midfielder. So obviously, I was more opening up play and passing into the guys on the wing to take on guys. So that's been a big transition, definitely trying to go at guys 1v1, try and get better at that. And obviously, the responsibility defensively, the way we play is still just as high, or if not higher. Tracking back, you know, being on your guys, on marking 1v1 is a huge part of our game. So that stays the same for sure.
So one of the great things to see when you scored your goal on Saturday was the entire sideline just, you know, jacked up and excited with each other and celebrating. You guys really seem very tight this year as a group that really gets along. How has that helped as you guys, you know, you had to play 3 games in 8 days, you had to have a road trip. How has those bonds that you guys have been able to form helped you get through a lot of these tough games? And of course, you're known as the Cardiac Wolves. How has it helped you guys come up with those late goals when you need them?
Yeah, I think, I mean, everybody gets along with everybody, you know what I mean? It's not a lot of time. I've been in a lot of teams where it's not like that, but here everybody is everybody's back. You know, we hang out with each other all the time outside of training and games and stuff. And then when you are in that, you know, in those last 15 minutes where we do score so many goals, we know anybody that's coming in on the bench, anybody that's still on the field will give 100% because that's what the guy next to them is doing as well. And I think that's, especially now going into the second stretch of the season here soon, it's going to be even more important to have that bond and just to push us through the tough battles that we will have.
Now, every time we come to the stadium, it seems like our King Bob has brought us something else, something new, and it's a continuing growing process. So what's it like playing in a place that is continuing to grow in flux and change?
Yeah, I mean, every fan that's there, and every time, you know, we play at home, it's crazy. Even the days where there's not as many fans, it still seems like there is because it's such an intense atmosphere. I mean, the fans are basically right on the field. So it's definitely doesn't really matter to us if there's 100 people or 1 million people. We're going to still give 100% and hopefully show the fans and show the city proud, and do what we can to win every home game, of course.
So you've had not a lot of travel, but you've been to a few different places. Is there a huge difference in CHI where we're, you know, the stands are built pretty much right on the field, like you said, as opposed to some of the others where there's a little more distance? Can you tell when you're playing in those away games that it's a little different, the fans are further away than when you're playing at home?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, the home games are truly home games for us. You feel the fans' energy. It's like, I mean, that you get a throw-in and you can basically give the whole sideline a high five. So, I mean, it's definitely a unique atmosphere from all the stadiums we've played so far. And I definitely think it's going to be tough to beat us at home, especially with our fan base and all the support we have there.
So speaking of some of those stadiums you've played in, specifically Omaha, is that the smallest stadium that you've played on since you were seven?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely crazy small. I mean, it was unbelievable. You can kick it from half field. I mean, it was narrow. It was not long. It was crazy. It was definitely an experience.
Well, I think they're measuring them in corn cobs rather than in feet. So I think that's probably how they're getting to that. So, Jackson, I know a lot of players kind of have their own pregame ritual to get them in going and to get their headset. So tell us, what is the Jackson Dietrich pregame ritual?
Man, I don't really would say I have one specific ritual. I'm not really that.
You don't have like a song that you use to get yourself going?
No, just whatever I feel like listening to. One day it could be pop or whatever. It can be rock or hip hop, just whatever I'm feeling that day. I usually try and do something in the morning, either like a small lift or play basketball or just shoot around, just do something so I'm not in bed all day. But that's about it usually.
So when you think about the fans chanting for you, what does that chant sound like? What chant would you like us to do for you? Because we could probably make it happen.
Oh, I have no idea. Got me on the spot here.
Because if we just make it up, it's not going to be as good.
Yeah, make something up that sounds pretty decent. I don't know.
So when we had España on, he basically said, "My name is unique, so just chant my name."
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Unfortunately, your name isn't unique, but we may be able to call
Not
you.
Not for our team.
we may be able to call you D3.
Dietrich.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound too good.
Dita Dietrich. Dietrich. Dita Dietrich.
Well, Jackson, we want to thank you so much for joining us and coming on. I think, Alex, do you have any more questions for me? Do you have a closing question for us?
It's not really a question. It's just, you know, I don't want to put undue pressure, but if you can score a goal Saturday, you definitely will be the highest scoring Dietrich in club history. Mm-hmm. So
no pressure.
Really keep that in mind.
And by default, no, our favorite Dietrich, too. So, I mean, if you get another goal, default, you will be our favorite Dietrich as well. So. No pressure.
For sure. I got Drei
Punkte. Drei Punkte.
Of course. That's even more important.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much, Jackson. Have a good game on Saturday. We look forward to seeing you score that goal to become the top Dietrich.
All right. Awesome, guys. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. Have a great night.
All right. Cheers.
All right, folks. Jackson Dietrich.
Yeah.
Wonderful job. I owe him a barbecue sandwich. I did trade on the fact that I tried to recruit him into getting some Charlie's barbecue from the team. So we'll have to take him down there maybe sometime in the off season, because that's definitely not pregame training food.
No, that wouldn't be a good pregame ritual.
So as we look at the game coming up Saturday, I thought we'd take a quick look at the League One standings and see where we are. Things are looking pretty good for us. We have a game in hand against Greenville, who comes into the Den on Saturday and 1 point clear of them already. So this really is a chance to take control of the top of the table. What else are you guys noticing as you look at the standings here?
Well, it's tight, and we've had way too many draws lately. But thankfully, so have Omaha and Greenville, including.
Or 4-0 losses.
Yeah. Yes. Or their loss. So that's kept us quite alive.
Was it 3-0? What was their loss that they took on that Greenville took on?
Hold on. I think I got that here. Hold on.
Yeah, that was a 3-0 to Tormenta, I believe.
Yeah, it was. They had a 3-2 Greenville loss to Tormenta. Not a 3-0. It was a 3-2.
Oh,
they started
that's right.
to come
they
back.
Gave up. They had the 2-0 lead and gave
that's
up
right.
three goals.
Yeah. Yes. Now, they had a 0-0 draw at home against North Carolina. And when I look at North Carolina's standings, they're kind of, wow. So, that's interesting.
Well, Well, I mean, to North Carolina's credit, they did just beat Richmond 4-0 and may have taken the top spot in League One Sports Center top tens. I believe Ramos had a number 7 and they got the number 2. Wow. With a lovely half field score over the keeper there in Richmond, who was definitely pulling up in a sweeper position and was caught off guard. But yeah, I mean, if you look at this, I look at it as an opportunity for us to take control of that second spot and get an opportunity to say, hey, we're 4 points clear of them with a game in hand. So this game's really important.
Well, also, we need the 3 points too to get ahead of Omaha, because their momentum isn't really – I mean, yes, they're going from wins to draws, but we've got to get some wins when they get either a draw or a loss. So if we want to pass them – and, of course, they've got a game a goal differential of 8-5, so we usually don't score big, so we just tend to get it on wins.
Yeah, they've got a game at Tucson also on Saturday. That'll be after our match. Okay. And so here again, Tucson's a team that's kind of frisky. You know, they came back on us and had the 2-2 draw. But they did also, you know, release their coach because they weren't thrilled with the results that they were having. You see them down there in 10th place. But that's not a game to necessarily take lightly. So we'll have to see how those results play out. But I think it comes down to, like you've talked about, Jeff, we've had a lot of draws of late, and we need to get back to wins. We need to get 3 points. We've got games in hand, and if we can get wins as we move through and catch up to a lot of these other teams that are below us, then it's really an opportunity to run away with it.
Well, going into this match, when we last faced Greenville, which wasn't all that long ago, We got a draw at home, and but since that time, I think we've played better, and Greenville has slipped a little bit. So I think going into this, I think that they are. I think that we're gonna. Not only are we at home, but and that's a huge advantage. But I think in momentum wise, I think it's in our favor.
So I agree. If we talk about, we've kind of blended talking about Greenville and what we expect from them. So when they came in last time, again, they were coming off a loss that I think was kind of unexpected of them. Here again, they jump out to an early lead and they give up that lead. So they're going to be coming in with a bad taste in their mouth. We haven't had a chance to beat them in a while. So, you know, they may feel like they really have a chance to be in the game with us. Hopefully they won't have the John Harkes fan club refereeing again. Right. But what else are you guys expecting to see from Greenville and the return of Slappy Lomas?
Well, again, they've stumbled a little bit as of late, but they're still a very serious force to reckon with. I think the key is going to be, if we could actually get a goal early, that's going to help us a bunch. We know if they score early, we have the ability to come back. But if we could get on the board early and maintain control, I think we could mute out their hope and joy.
I mean, it's the same thing that we've talked about now for weeks on end, it seems like. As much as we enjoy, and I put that in quotes, the cardiac Red Bulls, I still want one of those games where I'm comfortable at the 70-minute mark, where we're up 3-1, we're up 2-0, and I'm not freaking out. And I would love a 3-0 lead going into the 80th minute, where you really feel like there's zero chance without significant assistance from a ref that they're going to catch us. And we haven't had that. And I just would like for this to be that game.
Yeah, no complaints here. So as we look at the team that took the field Saturday, they've had a chance to have a full week to recover. Are there any lineup changes you're expecting? Is there anything you'd like to see them do different from this lineup that came out against North Texas?
Yeah, I went in and I brought up who started the last match so we can kind of compare. I think my biggest one is to swap out and have Glendrez start and have Rafa come off the bench this time. I to me, I think that makes more sense. Also, if he's, depending on how he's done this week, I wouldn't mind seeing Luna start, but I have a feeling what's going to happen is he'll go come in about the 60-minute mark.
Here again, so we had Blake Frischnick listed on the injured list for the game in North Texas. We don't know how serious that was, if he's going to be back. But if there was the sort of thing where we could start both Galindrez and Mensigan alongside someone like Ortiz or Villalobos in the midfield, that to me feels like something that's really comfortable in getting an early goal. Frischnick able to come off the bench is still something that gives you some confidence. You've got possibly Markey, you've got Frischnick, you've got a couple other people that may be coming off the bench to give that pop in the second half and can see the rest of the game out. I would also love to see, I hope, Jorge Luna, who's been listed in the 18s the last couple matches, is maybe back in the kind of fitness that he needs to be to play. I would love to see him in that center back role and have Sebastian Capizucci available again as a defensive sub to help us seal off the game and be that extra defensive sub.
So I agree with everything you said, but I'm going to go a little bit more hardcore on some of these changes. So first off, I would like Rafa to be slotted where España is. I would like to see Galindrez in where Rafa started at the very top. I would also like to see Dietrich start in front of Villalobos. I feel like he has really affected the game in a manner that I think would work really well with both Rafa and Galindrez at the very beginning of a game to give us that lead. And assuming Frischie's back, you still have the ability to bring in fresh legs in Frischie and Markey, and then also Villalobos to completely give a whole three shots at the top with a lot of skill. And with a five sub rule, you have a lot more freedom to do that. So that's kind of where I'm at. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Ray Ortiz get back into the starting lineup. I know that's something Coach had at one point talked about him eventually being a 90-minute man. So I think you could see a lot of changes. But even if you don't, just the fact that we're talking about five or six deep on that bench is really good, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I just look at what we played in that last game, we're off the bench. We brought in Rowe. We brought in Galindrez, we brought in Markey, we brought in Jackson, we brought in Ray. Like, we brought in a lot of attacking players, but I would once again love a 2-0 or a 3-0 where we could maybe get Jorge Luna in there if we don't start him and get him some game time. But at the same time, look what I just talked about. There is one true defensive sub that was on our bench. One. And that was a guy coming off of injury. Now, can you slot Ramos further back and maybe put in a Dietrich, or maybe have Villalobos slot back and have Ray Ortiz further forward? Yeah. So it's not like you have to only have one defensive player on there. And there is defensive players that are already on the field that can slot back. But I'd much rather like to see us have something else on the defensive that we could bring in.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't that long ago where I know Coach felt very frustrated that he ran out of bullets partly because of injuries or not enough players ready for attack. And so I think we've kind of have shifted the other direction. And if we end up signing anyone else, I really hope – I wouldn't mind signing another defender if it's possible before the season's out because that's an area where – yeah, it's a little lighter. And, of course, with having Wolafie out, that has forced the change. But I like Ramos in that position. I think he's killing it there. And so if we had someone else to help out with rather than just Luna, I would feel a lot more comfortable because Navarro, he could have the injury and go out earlier.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. There needs to be a little beefing up of the defense, and I think we have enough midfield pieces that we could just shift Ramos back, that we could have Carrera Garcia playing more of a six than being up in the attack, with plenty of guys like Jackson Dietrich and Villalobos and Ray Ortiz and Ricky, who can fill those other attacking midfielder roles, to give us a chance to have a couple extra players, defensive minded on the bench. Yeah. So that's something that I think we'll have to watch and see. Rumor mill. I have heard that Wolafe is starting to slowly return to practice. So a return at some point in the season for Wally might not be completely out of the cards. And that'll be really exciting to have him back.
That would be fantastic.
So, and I think I fall into this trap of, you know, last year the season was so short. I mean, you start to forget that we're not even into August yet, right? And this season runs through, you know, the end of October. So,
we're not even at the halfway point yet. We've got a couple more games before we're halfway through the games that are to be played.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there is time for that.
So now it's time, I suppose, for us to make our painful predictions. Jeff?
All right. You know, usually I go with the 2-1. That's been kind of been my standard, or 1-2, depending where we're at. And I'm going to venture out, and you know what? If South Georgia Tormenta can get a 3-2 win, I think we can too. So I'm going to go for a 3-2. I'd love to see a 3-0 or a 3-1, but Greenville has a way of bouncing back. And how do I word this without – it's not uncommon for some of our refs to have their Greenville green glasses on, if not their shirts. So – I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably one of the reasons we're going to get really frustrated with at least one of the calls. I'm going to go with 3-2.
So I feel like you choosing us scoring three goals is a really intelligent choice, because so far this year, Greenville has lost three games. Those scores are 3-0 to North Texas, 3-1 to Tormenta, and 3-2 to Tormenta. So if you're going to beat them, looks like you got to score three goals.
Yeah.
Right? And they've hit the 3-0, 3-1, and 3-2, so they've hit all three. So I want to have a comfortable game. I'm going 3-0 Red Wolves.
Jeff, I think someone is an imposter here, has stolen Adam's body, and is being a positive person.
Yeah.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well,
he's looking at me.
Yeah, it's the bright lights there that really make me think that some kind of extraterrestrial presence has captured him. But you know what? If it ends up with a 3-0 win, then yeah, abduct Adam more often.
So I'm with you, Adam. I want a comfortable 3-0 win. I'm afraid that this isn't going to be the game. I'm afraid that the book on the Red Wolves is try to sit back and defend and hope that they expose themselves, try to gum the game up and slow it down as much as possible, whether that means flopping, whether that means taking cheap little shots that the ref doesn't see, whether that means the goalkeeper's holding the ball for 45 seconds before trying to punt it downfield. And so I'm afraid that they defend well enough that if their natural tendency is to sit back and defend and wait for a chance to counterattack, I think they're going to be able to execute that. It's a game that we can win, but I think it's going to be more of a 1-0, probably a goal sometime during the second half.
All right. Well, we have someone piping in there. Can you guys see the person? I'm not sure if you can do that. And this is, of course, from our friend Brandon Dean. Wow, we're just out of sync.
That's a crappy computer.
Yeah, I'm going with 2-1 Red Wolves with another cardiac score in the 90-plus minute. That's Brandon. I want to say that's pretty likely.
I think Brandon he likes to act like this bothers him. I think he truly enjoys the late scores. I honestly do, because only a person who likes to be tortured would make that statement. And I think we're figuring out a little bit more about Brendan.
I mean, he listens to this show, so
And participate, so he does like torture. Got it.
So yeah, there's that. Well, yeah. I tell you what, it does make you feel like you got your money's worth, because I never feel that the Red Wolves just checked out too early, that they're in it to the very end. Sometimes they checked in late, but they never check out early. So that's a great thing. And so you want to have that emotion going out rather than at the halftime. So
don't ever go to your car until that final whistle blows, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That's the lesson. So moving around the area, we our ladies, the Lady Red Wolves, are Southeast Division champions.
Yeah, it's not division, it's conference. Southeast Conference, and it's in the Southern region. Now, they have announced the other conference champions in the Southern region. For the Carolinas, it is the Charlotte Eagles. And then for the Sunshine Conference, it is FC Surge, which is in South Florida. At this time, they have not announced what the plan is going forward. I do know out west in some other areas, there's still some play going on to determine the other conference champions. So I haven't got confirmation, but what I suspect is they're waiting for all of those to wrap up, and then they're going to announce what the next round is.
Okay, so we will keep our senior correspondent on the case to let you guys know as soon as we have national playoff for the Lady Red Wolves. But congrats to them. Great job this season. A lot of fun to watch. If there is an opportunity for those games to be played in the Den, you should definitely go and check them out. Also, Park City is in the USL League Two national quarters. They will be taking on the Portland Timbers U23 that I believe plays out of Salem, Oregon. And they'll have that game, I believe, on tomorrow. And if they can win that, then they move on.
So that brings up a question for me, Alex.
Uh-huh.
What's the shirt you're wearing today?
This would be a Portland Timbers, Cardiac Timbers last night. Felipe Mora scoring with a header to beat LAFC.
So who are you rooting for in that Park City game?
What's that?
Who are you rooting for in that Park City game? Just got the water joke. Who are you rooting for in that Park City game then?
So I'm rooting for Park City. And that is something that'll be a learning experience for these young men in the Portland Timbers organization. Maybe leave a bad taste in their mouth and drive them to ever greater heights when they get to the Portland Timbers regular team. Yeah, weaseled out of that one, didn't I?
Well done. That's impressive.
So, congrats and good luck to Park City. We'll try to, on Twitter, try to keep up with what's going on with those games and send you updates when we can see them. And hopefully things go well for them. That is kind of the local stuff.
Well, before we go on to outside of the Red Wolves and our local Red Bull stuff, it is the third kit reveal on Saturday. Are we expecting them to wear the third kit? And more importantly, do we know whether or not they will be selling those third kits at the game?
I believe they advertise that they will have the third kits and they'll be wearing it.
I think that's yes to everything. They will probably, I bet you, they will have them boxed up in the concession, ready to put on sale as soon as the team marches out in those glorious Rusty the Red Wolf third kits.
Yeah, you're killing me. You do realize if you were to actually ever get that kit, I will never hear the end of it from you. And that's one of the reasons why I want it to never happen.
I want that kit so bad. Even if we have to make it ourselves and make it a Soccer Chat kit. And I want that kit to happen.
The only
And I also want to have a special one made with Alex's face that Rusty wears. Kind of to twin. Mm. Wouldn't it be great? So if Rusty is wearing the Alex kit, well, Alex is wearing the Rusty kit. It's like kit inception.
Yeah, if we went that way, I think we'd have to figure out a way to have Rusty eating Charlie's barbecue on the if it's a soccer chat jersey, so we can be completely on point.
Yes, yes, brisket, and ribs or brisket or both. So
that brings us to our non-Red Wolves topics. So there's fun discussion in the Red Wolves fan chat and Slacks and things like that about some proposed rule changes that FIFA is testing at a youth tournament. And I don't have them in front of me here. Do you guys remember some of the main ones that we've got? Oh, look at that. There we are. So what do you guys think of them? I guess we'll go kind of down the list here. So how do you guys feel about 30-minute halves? Yay or nay?
So I think the first one connects to the second one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you do the first without doing the second. Mm-hmm. And if they put the two together, this is a very Americanized idea. But, man, it would be nice to watch second-half soccer and not have part of it be watching people fit, like, taking 30 minutes to go get a ball that went out of bounds when there's another ball right next to them that they accidentally kick and it goes further away, or to watch them kick the ball further out of bounds. Like, I'm okay with live game time killing. Like, you go to the corner, dribble at the corner, that's fine. My issue with time killing is they only give you 30 seconds and you took 2 minutes to get the ball in play. That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah. My take on this, especially these first two, is you're going to see a response similar to what we saw in the UK to what they were how they responded to teams joining the Super League, and that kind of virile kind of just attacking response. That's why I don't think it'll fly, especially in Europe, because they're going to see it as an attack on their culture.
So who is the one in charge of keeping the clock?
Like current state, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's the ref.
Okay. Yeah. So when the guy goes down and takes 2 minutes instead of 30 seconds, who has the discretion to add a full 2 minutes of stoppage time instead of 30 seconds when the guy was down for 2 minutes?
Yeah, which is what happened in our last game, right?
Right.
They held up 6 minutes, and the ref was like, I'll give you 6 minutes, but we're not starting until the 91:15 mark, so I'm doing 6 minutes from now,
yeah.
Which is why that was within the extra time. Like,
so the way that runs, basically, you know, the referees, they tend to have earpieces. They talk to each other. So at some point from the 85th minute to the 87th, the head ref told the other ref, okay, there's going to be about 6 minutes of stoppage time. And then there was a substitution after the 90th minute.
Right.
So he's adding time for the substitution after the stoppage time.
Exactly. So anytime you see a stoppage time, it's at least that. So plus additional stoppage.
Basically, my point, we don't have to have a clock stopping, which, you know, the referee isn't going to be the one in charge of the clock if you go to ball stopping when it's out of play. So you're going to find a new reason to argue about, oh, yeah, was the ball completely over the line? The ball should have been out, so the guy stops the clock, but he shouldn't have, hometown scoring kind of stuff. Yeah. I see this, especially going down to the youth levels where people get insane, being really, really ugly. The referees just need to do a better job of managing how much stoppage time they're